In our 90s file, we meet young people working on the land, born in the 1990s. Today, we're with a dairy farmer who's doing things a little differently on his parents' farm. Richard Waugh farms at Hinuera, near Matamata in Waikato.
I'll be 28 in April, in a month's time.
And you've got calves at this time of year?
So we autumn calve 80 cows. It's about a third of the herd, and they started calving on the 22nd of February and due to finish about the 6th of April.
As a farmer, it must be a lot easier to rear a summer calf, an autumn calf.
I think it is, yeah. There's no weather constraints. Calves hit the ground running because the weather's warm, and the only thing in the summertime is the warm sheds, and you've got to keep your hygiene quite well because of the bugs. Quite like a warm environment, so you've got to keep the hygiene up in the shed so that the calves don't get sick.
And you've got fans too to keep the air moving?
To keep the flies off the back of the calves. That's probably one of the only downsides of having autumn calves is the flies absolutely hound the calves. But with ripcord in the fans, we've pretty much got no flies on the calves.
And ripcord is?
Pretty much a fly spray you put in the backpack. Spray it around the pens and you can spray it on the calves and just everything that the flies sit on.
Another round of calving will take place from the 10th of July to the 20th of August. Then 240 cows will calve.
So we do two short six-week calvings just to try and keep it manageable. Stops the stock wastage, not getting rid of good empty cows. Yeah, making use of the good winters, touch wood, that we've been having and the good growth through May, June and July.
So if a good cow doesn't get in calf for, say, the autumn calving, do you give her another crack?
So cows sulk her every 3 weeks, so she gets two goes, and if she's not in calf then, she just gets taken through to the next mating and then has another two goes at getting in calf. Can just stay in the system until she falls pregnant. Good cows that are doing close to four milk size just refuse to get in calf, so once their production drops off a little bit, they've got more energy to think about getting back in calf. So quite often the better cows will do 18 months and then calve and then 18 months and then calve. Sort of eliminates the bobbies as well if they don't have to calve as often.
It's what's known in dairy circles as a System 5 high input operation.
I think to be System 5 you have to have over 50% I think of imported feed.
Now you say you bring in lots of food. What do you feed your cows?
So we get a lot of veggie waste or wet veggies from Auckland.
Have you got any on farm at the moment?
Yeah, we do, yep.
Do you
want
to show me?
Yep. I'll go this way.
Yep. And this is your own silage here?
So we grew 15 hectares of maize and we only buy in 50 tonne of maize. Because buying it in is double the cost of growing it. Yeah, that's the veggies there. So we roughly feed about 50 tonne a week of wet weight of veggies that come down as a backload for Say's Earth Movers. It comes from EcoStock and they collect it, sort it, and then they send it down to us. I think it's like $50, $60 a tonne landed, so a cheap, but it's a wet feed, but very high in ME, or energy.
I'm just having a look over there. I can see some spuds and some cabbages. What else tends to turn up?
Yeah, lots of potatoes, cabbages. Through the summer you get summer fruits, through the winter you get carrots and cabbages. It just varies load to load really. Some of it comes from market gardens and some from the bigger restaurants and the bigger schools that have boarding schools, and like you get a lot of potato peels and like things like that that would usually go to landfill but can come down to us and we can reuse it. It's cheaper for the people that supply the veggies to send it to EcoStock than to put it into the landfill, because if it's not coming here, it's going to the landfill, and that's another cost for those companies.
What do the cows think of it?
They love the veggies. They'll choose that over the maize and the silage and the palm kernels.
What sort of an impact does that have on your milk production?
When we have a shortage of veggies or something like that, we probably drop 1,000 litres for 330 cows, just because I'm replacing it with maize, and maize isn't the same as veggies, especially through the summer. If I run out in the summer, it definitely impacts us more.
What would be their favourite? What do you see them go for?
Any fruit, usually. So like apples and pineapples and stuff like that. Definitely a lot less good produce probably comes now than in the early days. Some of those loads you'd quite happily give an apple or something a wash and eat it. But now, especially with COVID, there seems to be more going to food banks and stuff now that people are struggling for food and stuff. There seems to be a lot less being wasted and a lot less good fruit and veggie coming down to us. In those early days, you get like a good load of watermelons and you think, oh, there's nothing wrong with these. Like, why am I feeding these to the cows?
Farms that pay good money for supplementary feed expect to cover those costs with increased milk production. In other words, they want the cows to produce high kilograms of milk solids throughout the year.
Per cow, we're on track to do about 605, 610.
And what does the average cow produce in a year?
I think it's around 380, 390 now. Well, the national average is increasing year on year, but the national herd's shrinking.
Richard's also introduced a Swedish breed into his herd, the Viking Red.
It makes a good cross across the Frisian, quite fertile and quite healthy animals, and they hold the leaders and hold the milk solids, so yeah, they make a good cross for our place anyway. I've been doing it 7 or 8 years now, so. And they are stronger than the Holstein. They seem to hold their condition after calving. They're not as big as the Holstein, but bigger than the Jersey, like somewhere in the middle. And we're quite a wet farm, so the big Holsteins are, or the big Frisians are quite heavy on the wet soil, so somewhere in the middle was where we were aiming.
Those are your girls on the feed pad there, right?
Yeah, so the cows are on the feed pad. They come to the feed pad about 10:30, 11, when the day's starting to get hot. They come for 5 or 6 kilos of dry matter and a cool down, and then at 1 o'clock they go out to the chicory. Once they've cooled down, their body temperature's dropped and they're able to eat for another hour, an hour and a half, and then they come up to the cow shed to be milked, and we've got the sprinklers on the yard, so sort of we manage their body temperature like that so that the production doesn't drop. Covered feed pad is a lifesaver in the summer, and it's a lifesaver in the winter because they don't as much nicer on a rainy day in there than standing in the rain.
Now, you're 28, you said?
Yeah.
And you're running this place on your own?
Yeah, I manage all the feeding and all the stock work and all the milking and stuff like that. Me and I've got one employee. We're looking to downsize next season and probably go back to doing it myself and milking 260 cows, something like that, yeah.
Why are you looking at doing that?
So we can have a succession plan for me to buy the herd and progress in the industry. So we've sold the runoff and downsizing 100 cows, and then hopefully in the next 2 years I can buy the cows off my parents and lease them back to my parents. So it's just in between contract milking and